someone kept telling me that, you know, everything happens for a reason. And someone saying that to me made me want to slap them across the face. I was like, you have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. Like, you're infuriating me. I want you to shut up.
Hey, besties. Welcome back to another episode of I Missed Me. I am so excited today because I have Lauren LaRue with me today. She is the host of Do the Damn Thing, which is a podcast that covers all types of important conversations from personal development and to growth and entrepreneurship. Lauren is also the founder of LaRue Brand, and the LaRue is all about offering a wide range of services and platforms where women can come together and learn to be successful in both life and business. So Lauren, welcome to I Missed Me. So excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited. I want to start off like asking, what inspired your business and podcast?
That is the deep question. That's where I always love to start. So LaRue was born from such a pinnacle point of my life. When I was 18 and a freshman in college, my brother died, and that was a very sudden experience. He was killed in a motorcycle accident. No. And it, you know, at 18, you have no idea how to handle that grief. You have no idea how to handle a trauma like that. So I just kind of brushed it under the rug, watched my parents grieve, didn't address any emotions, moved on. And then about 7 months later, when I was living here, going to college, I was sexually assaulted, went through a trial.
Hold on.
Oh, no. No, this is where we dive right in because it gets bigger. It gets a lot more. So I went through a trial. At this point, I was 19, still no idea how to handle any sort of trauma like that. And I had a great support system, but my support system didn't know how to handle that trauma either. And then about a year and 2 months after my brother had passed away, my dad tried to commit suicide in front of me. So in 14 months of my life, I completely went through trauma after trauma, and it took a really long time for me to be able to think about those things. I was just living in a period of like constant anger and grief. And I just masked it all with focusing on college, pretending I was fine, doing the bad things that you do when you go through trauma. And after I graduated college, I ended up moving home to have a knee surgery, unrelated. And COVID, it was bumping up to the time when COVID started. And when it happened, when COVID hit, I was just like, you know what? I am not well. Mm-hmm. And the grief was just overwhelming me. So I decided to start dealing with it. And LaRue was kind of born out of that time in my life.
I'm like processing.
Me too.
Wow. Okay. Did you go to therapy?
I did. So once I started, there was a literal day where I decided like, I'm done. I can't handle this anymore. It was a day where I was, you know, having the bad thoughts, thinking about ending my life. And I called my parents and I was just like, you know what? We need to talk about this because I feel like I'm like literally dying. Mm-hmm. So we sat down and had a big, big conversation about what my grief looked like and what my depression and anger, resentment, guilt, all of the things felt like and what they looked like. And I kind of built a new support team around me that were trained professionals. So I went back to therapy. I got a life coach-ish, just someone who could help me get my life in order. Mm-hmm. And then I also started working with an alternative therapy coach using EFT, if you're familiar with
tapping.
That. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I went into 6 months of deep, deep tapping.
It helped for you? Really?
I can't even. Like, there aren't even words. Wow. So tapping was one of the most transformative ways to rewire and reprogram my brain.
Can you explain a little bit like how tapping works?
Absolutely. So EFT tapping utilizes the meridian points on your body. So it's based in Chinese medicine. Mm. So super, super old science that is like backed with so much psychology. So it uses meridian points on your body. So like above your eyebrows, on the side of your eye, under your eye, your collarbone, the side of your hand, the top of your head. These are all points where our body relaxes. And as you tap on those, you can do things like saying affirmations, rewriting the story. Some people do some things like almost like a pattern interrupt where you're saying something completely unrelated, trying to think about the trauma. Okay. And you utilize these points and literally reprogram your brain to believe something different. So for example, if you're someone who struggles with self-worth or self-love, you would use the meridian points and just start tapping, and you would say positive affirmations that reprogram your brain to believe you are worthy and you do love yourself.
Hmm. After going through everything that you went through, obviously I think a big part to start healing is like acceptance. And mm-hmm. I think that healing requires a lot of forgiveness, but like, what mm-hmm. is your standpoint on that? Like, do you think that forgiveness is required or just acceptance?
Definitely a lot of both. The five stages of grief, I think, are very, very real, but it's interesting too. When I was going through this healing system, this healing journey, one of my coaches referenced the five stages of grief almost as looking at the 12-step program. And it's a lot of the similar, like same steps, and acceptance and forgiveness are two of the big ones. Accepting my grief wasn't nearly as hard as practicing forgiveness, for because sure. not only did I need to forgive myself, but the other people who were involved, forgiving yeah. my brother for getting in an accident that ended his life,
yeah.
forgiving the person who assaulted me, forgiving my dad. So it was a long journey, and forgiveness is something that is very... most people think of it as two-sided, but when it comes to a journey like that, it is one-sided. You have to find it within yeah. yourself to forgive the actions that you've taken, but also forgive what other people have gone through that has affected your life.
Like you said, I think forgiveness is just more for you and like yeah. to live more at peace. Mm-hmm. What would you say, like, what's your biggest advice when it comes to like forgiveness? Because some people like see forgiveness as like it's like for the other person, like, mm-hmm. I don't want to forgive that person because they did this, mm-hmm. this and that. And it's like, you're not forgiving them because mm-hmm. it's okay, but you're forgiving them to be okay with you. So like, what's your biggest advice when it comes to forgiveness?
I think when it comes to the one-sided look or perspective on forgiveness, it's such a big hurdle because you have to think about the actions that someone took either against you or that affected you, and look, frame it in a mindset that is, you know, they were doing the best that they could. And that can feel really difficult when it's someone who's like emotionally harmed you. I went through a really bad friendship breakup in college, and it took me years and years and years to get to a point where I could say I forgive this person, because now, you know, obviously being so much more older, more perspective, and just kind of knowing all the things that I do know now about psychology and just, you know, emotional well-being, I was able to kind of put that forgiveness in a mindset of, this person was doing the best that they could with the information that they had, yeah. with the experiences that they've gone through. And sometimes when people don't have such adverse experiences in life, you know, their perspective can be very one-sided or one-dimensional. And that's why people act out in certain ways. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're someone struggling with forgiveness in terms of someone who's hurt you or someone who's wronged you or a grief or anything like that, forgiveness has to come from a place of knowing that we're all growing, we're all healing. And some people are doing it in different approaches than others. Mm-hmm. Some people aren't approaching it at all, but that doesn't have to affect the way you frame life, you know, your framework around life or your experiences. And when you get to a place of forgiveness against someone or for someone who's, you know, wronged you, it's such a liberating space to live in and exist in, mm. because you're no longer carrying the weight of someone else. It's not your weight anymore. It's their baggage. It's not mm. yours.
Like you said, like the five stages of grief are like super real, and like mm-hmm. you go through denial. And what do you think is like the hardest stage to get through, and your biggest advice for someone who's in whatever stage?
That is such a great question. I don't think I've ever actually thought about which stage was the hardest. I think with grief, you know, as an outside perspective, you think of grief as those five stages, and then you think about the process of it. And then you think that, you know, if you're watching someone go through a grieving process, whether it's the loss of a person, a job, the loss of a relationship, you think once they've reached that stage of acceptance that it's over, grief is done, like yeah. they're moving on, right? I think honestly, it's not one particular stage that's the hardest. It's just the journey itself. Especially when it comes to the loss of a human being, the journey never ends. It just doesn't. You know, just yesterday I was thinking about my brother. His birthday is next week. He would have been 30. And his 8-year anniversary is 2 weeks after that. And I was thinking about how much I miss him. And it's easy to think about how much you miss a person. But then when you think about like the details of, you know, like, I wish I could hear his voice. That's what's like, that's the grief. That's the hardest part. And that never, ever goes away. That'll never be gone. So I think the hardest stage of grief is just the journey itself, the longevity of it, because it's never something you're going to be over. It's just, it gets a little bit easier as time passes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow, I'm like getting chills like all over. You talk a lot about intentional living is something that you like talk about on your podcast. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for you now?
So the term intentional living comes from a deep, deep, dark place in me originally that is now this bright, shining light. And it's kind of the entire premise around my brand and my business. Mm-hmm. So when I was going through, you know, my stages of grief and going through my healing journey and starting to address all of these emotions that I was feeling with my kind of, I call them my life team at the time. One of the biggest emotions I was feeling was guilt. This idea that I was wasting time that was stolen from my brother. I was thinking, you know, it should have been me. Like he had all this time ahead of him. And it was just a very dark place for me to believe that I was unworthy of that time. And that, you know, every moment I sat on the couch or grieving or in depression, I was just wasting time that he didn't have. So as I started to transform that mindset, a lot of it was around this word, you know, being intentional with my time, being intentional with the way I spend my time, with who I spend my time with, you know, what I do with my time. And it doesn't always mean, intentionality certainly doesn't mean like always doing something. It doesn't mean being on the go all the time, burning yourself out. It doesn't mean like having a booked, packed schedule. It means savoring the time that you have, you know, doing things with intention, thinking about things before you do them. Like, does this serve me well? Does this serve my goals? Does this serve, you know, the version of myself that I want to be tomorrow? So intentionality to me is very universal, but also very, very individual. You have to define what that means to you. It's not, you know, it's not me telling you what it is, even as someone who's entire brand is intentionality. It's not me coaching someone saying, this is what intentionality means and this is what you have to do in your life to achieve it. Mm-hmm. It's about like, does this feel intentional to me? Yes, I love that. Okay, great. You know, how can you transfer that feeling into your job, your relationships, everything about your life?
So, I mean, I have like extreme admiration for you, like after like hearing your story, but especially because you decided to turn your pain into something beautiful and into like what you do today. But there's a lot of people that go through traumatic things like that and just decide to stay in that like victim mentality of like life is just not worthy anymore because all of these things happen to me. So how are you able to transform your pain into your purpose kind of, and how can someone get out of that like victim state or mentality?
Yeah, I absolutely love, love, love that question. It's interesting. Something we say in EFT tapping that you'll do with coaches is like before you start any tapping at all, they'll have you start tapping and then say, I take full responsibility for my own well-being. Mm-hmm. And that I think is such a powerful statement because, you know, I lived in that stage of victim mentality for years, for sure. Four whole years. I lived in a stage of woe is me, the world is out to get me. And I hated everyone and everything. And I put on the absolute best front to make it look like I didn't. I was self-centered and selfish and surface level. And that was all from a place of feeling like I was the victim. And you know what? I was the victim of a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot happened to me that was out of my control. A lot happened around me that affected me. And I think the victim, the place of feeling like a victim is always valid for a certain extent of time. Because the fact of life is that everything around the world is going to keep going. Like everyone's going to keep moving. Everyone's going to wake up the next day and go about their business, go to their jobs, be in their relationships, go out to dinner. The world doesn't stop moving. Your world does. And it can feel really hard to make it start spinning again. And it took me a really long time to think about moving beyond my grief because for such a long time, it became my identity. It consumed me. So when I was in that place of victimhood, it felt really easy to just encourage that every single day. And then when I got to my breaking point, it was just a matter of like you know what? I'm so freaking tired of feeling like this. It's people will tell you, and it can be really easy to think that the place of victim is far easier than the act of actually healing and like moving on that journey. But the moment you decide to take that control back, the moment you decide to handle those emotions, you're in so much more control that the amount of ease that you feel is so liberating. And it's like, I don't even want to say the weight of the world is lifted, because that feels too light. Like yeah. You just feel like you're a million pounds. And then the moment you decide, you know what, I'm done feeling like this, it's like you're as light as a feather. Like you're floating on air, walking on water, like you're doing all of the things. So I think if you're someone who is in that stage, you know, handle it. Deal with the victimhood. Sit there in that moment for as long as you think you need it, because I certainly took my time getting out of it. Mm-hmm. But the moment you decide to move on, it's not that you're forgetting your grief. It's not that you're denying your grief. Those facts of my life will live with me forever, and I will never, ever forget any of them. But I've chosen to live from a place of letting those experiences empower me. And because I do that, it gives me so much great joy to live this life every day and be able to do what I do and help women heal their own trauma and address their own.
Besties, I don't know about you, but I feel like this year has gone by so quickly to the point where it's not even giving me time to process everything that has happened. So I quickly want you to ask yourself, what is something that you've been proud of in 2024? What is something that you've accomplished, and what is something that you've done that makes you feel proud about yourself? And what is something that you still want to accomplish this year? When life goes fast, it is very important to take a moment to celebrate your wins and also make adjustments for the rest of the year. Therapy can really help you track your process and set achievable goals for the next 6 months. I've talked about this on the podcast before. I've personally benefited from therapy before. Therapy is just a very, very good tool for you to be able to let your feelings out, let your thoughts out, and kind of organize them a little bit. And I cannot recommend it enough. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like your therapist, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Take a moment, visit betterhelp.com/mafiansuitas today to get 10% off your first month. Again, besties, that's BetterHelp. Help is help.com/mafiansuitas to get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp. Thank you so much, BetterHelp, for sponsoring today's episode. Besties, this is for everyone that's looking to learn a new language. Whether you have an upcoming international trip or want to connect with friends and family or a new culture, Rosetta Stone is for you. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages to offer, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, and so many more, and it immerses you in many, many ways. It has no English translations, which means that you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. And I also love that it has speech recognition. It has a built-in true accent feature, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's literally like having a personal trainer for your accent. Besties, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. And for a very limited time, iMissedMe's listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. Again, besties, that's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. I love you, besties. And I can't wait for you guys to start learning a new language. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through menopause, but it has become a phenomenon, and women literally cannot stop talking about it on social media to the point where a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicating to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make absolutely no compromise when it comes to quality, and it contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And the cool thing about adaptogens is that they help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout the woman's life. Besties, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause, but any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. There is no better feeling and benefit than feeling like yourself again, and that is what Hormone Harmony is for. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at Happy Mammoth just using your code MAFIANSURES at checkout. Besties, that's happymammoth.com using the code MAFIANSURES at checkout for 15% off today. Thank you so much, Happy Mammoth, for sponsoring today's episode.
Trauma and build businesses out of it.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
What are your biggest tips when it comes to like intentional living, like things that you do today and things that you would like recommend or advise people to do?
Well, I think it goes back to like intentional living is so subjective to the person itself. So figuring out what works for you is just honestly the most important part. Like, I'm going to go tell you to journal. I'm going to tell you to meditate. I'm going to tell you to practice EFT. I'm going to tell you to read self-help books, like do all the things. Great. Those actions are intentional, but do you have an intentional mindset? Like, what is the mindset that you have? It all starts with healing your mind, healing your body, and healing your soul. Like, whatever, even when it comes to spirituality, like whether it's a God you believe in, the universe, whatever it is, figuring out how you can connect your soul and your spirit and your mind all in one, and figuring out your mindset, like that's the first step. You can do all the intentional action that you want. You can, you know, go to workout classes, you can take care of your body. But until you address what's happening in your head, until you address your limiting beliefs and your boundaries, nothing's gonna change about what feels intentional. So starting with your mindset is always number one.
Are you spiritual or religious at all? Have you always been?
So I grew up with like a church religion. I grew up Lutheran, but I very much let that go after my brother passed away and lived in a consistent state of like, there absolutely is no God because I refuse to believe that someone could go through all of that and believe in something like that.
That's kind of my question is like, how do you find like that there is something out there like taking care of you when you go through all of these things?
Yeah. I definitely believe now in like a universal higher power. Right. I don't necessarily call it a God, but I do believe that there is this universal enlightenment, if you will, that is supporting and guiding all of us. And when I started my healing journey, when I started dealing with all of these emotions and with all of these experiences, someone kept telling me that, you know, everything happens for a reason. And someone saying that to me made me want to slap them across the face. I was like, you have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. Like, you're infuriating me. I want you to shut up. And I acted that way for a really long time when people would tell me that, or, you know, God's got a plan, or, you know, they're watching out for you, or whatever it was. It always made me like truly boil just with, I would see red rage.
100%.
And when I started connecting more to spirituality and I started finding my purpose about 2 years after all of that, you know, so it's only a year and a half ago now around that time, I started truly believing that everything does happen for a reason. Would I rather have my brother here? 1,000,000%. I would give up everything. However, that's not an option. I'm not even going to entertain that option because why do that? Why put myself through that? So my option is to believe that even though I don't agree with what happened and I wish I could change it, the only thing I can do if I want to be happy is drive purpose through it. So I choose to believe, and this is a very controversial opinion, my mom and I disagree on this so much, that I do believe everything does happen for a reason. And in choosing to believe that, I think it also aligns with what are facts of life. Everyone lives, everyone dies. And some people die sooner than we think they should, but it's going to happen inevitably. So if his time was that time, which also to note, my brother was also a very, very spiritual person. Wow. So that felt easy to align with when I finally like agreed with that. I was able to see that, you know, he's living on through what I do every day. I'm charging his energy through what I do every single day. And even though he's not physically here, his presence will always be existing. So yeah. I think it's a very, very personal journey that, you know, you just kind of have to take it day by day and discover what feels right for you. Yeah. And that'll change over time as you do heal those things.
What triggered that? Like, because obviously I think spirituality is a journey and someone, like for some people, they start reading books and they start like connecting with like whatever the books say, or how that's like spiritual journey like start for you?
Pretty much in that way. Once I started EFT, I started reading a lot of psychology and literature around like self-help, mental healing, emotional healing, you know, grief healing, and just, you know, handling things with big T traumas and all of those things. And as I did, I started discovering, you know, a lot of the people who are really prominent in the spiritual world, Deepak Chopra, Joe Dispenza, like all of the people that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And I think in practicing things like meditation, practicing things like literally changing the way your mind works and reprogramming, yeah, all of that, I think just naturally lends to spirituality. So it was easy for me to kind of just slip into that pool of it. And as I started learning, I think it brought on a lot of like subconscious knowings that this is what I believe in. This is what I've always believed in. Because right, even as a young child, like I never connected with the church. That wasn't really something that I had a lot of like deep understanding with. And the moment I discovered spirituality, the moment I started leaning into it, I just totally fell. I totally fell into it.
Okay. Like spirituality is just like such a beautiful topic. Mm-hmm. I love talking about it. Yeah. But I've completely forgot my question because there's noise outside and freak. Okay. Yeah. So like a spiritual journey, and a lot of people like struggle with jumping into a spiritual journey because like spirituality, I feel like it requires a lot of trusting. Mm-hmm. And you can't be spiritual in trust while also trying to control everything, because I think I'm also super spiritual. I feel like the more that you try to control, the more that the universe is just going to destroy everything that you're trying to control. So what is your biggest advice when it comes to trusting?
That is also a fantastic question because I'm a Virgo. So control freak through and through. Like Virgo strong, loving all of that. I absolutely love to be in the driver's seat of my life. I love being in control of things. You know, if I walk into like a party and it's chaos, I'm like, done. Let me, I'll take over. No, like everyone put your stuff down. I got this. So it's been and is still a very like difficult ongoing journey for me to let go of what I can't control. And with everything that we do, especially I think when it comes to entrepreneurship and starting your own business, when you're your own boss, you feel like you're wearing all of the hats, you're doing all of the things, like you are in control of so, so much. But then when you put something out in the universe, or when you launch something, or when you start something new, there is so little that we are actually in control over. Yeah. And we can berate ourselves about thinking like, oh, I need to be doing more. Oh, I need to be doing this. I need to be, you know, X, Y, and Z, fill in the blanks. But there is so much of a trust aspect that I think so many people don't see when it comes to whatever you're doing, whether it's entrepreneurship, you know, your career, whatever. And I think when it comes to trust, meditation has been the biggest helping point for me in finding that trust and being okay and kind of just surrendering what I'm doing to the universe and being like, okay, you know, I've done my thing. This is up to you. And I love the quote or whatever it is of, you know, the universe will always meet you halfway. So thinking about it in that framework of, you know, I'm only doing half the work and it seems like so much, but the universe really is co-conspiring with us to create that other half. So I think finding whatever you know, component of your life can help you feel like you're trusting more, whether it is meditation or yoga or reading or whatever it is. Just finding that way that works for you to lean into that trust, you know, it's a day-to-day battle, but is what's really helpful.
I love that. You help a lot of girls like start their business or like with business mentality. What is like the best mindset to have as an entrepreneur? Like the mindset that most people have, the mindset that most people have trouble with connecting, but like the most helpful one.
That's a great question. The mindset, I think people or women entrepreneurs in particular that they have a lot of trouble connecting with is probably this idea of imposter syndrome, or, you know, I don't really have a unique idea. Like there are so many other people doing it. I think we think of anything nowadays and it's easy to say it's oversaturated, right? Like any business you want to start, it's easy to say, okay, well, there are a million other people doing it. So, you know, why does my voice matter? Or why does my product matter?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is you want to offer. But I think the difficulty in becoming an entrepreneur is that it can sometimes feel really hard to step into your own power, to really see like how unique you truly are in this world. And you always have such a unique perspective to offer. So even if, like, let's say you're starting a candle business. There are millions of candle businesses, right? But even if you think that way, there will always be something that you can do to make your business unique. And you just have to figure out what that is. You have to figure out the positioning. You have to figure out, you know, one of my old business coaches used to call it like your secret sauce. Just like figure out what you have is unique and then leverage that and market that. And I think that that can be a hard mindset to grasp because I think we're very frequently taught that we're not unique and that even if we have a good idea, like the next person will have it too. So I think giving yourself, and this is something I struggle with a lot too, even still, you know, 3.5 years in, giving yourself credit where credit is due is so, so, so important as an entrepreneur. Like it can be so easy to see where you think you're failing or falling behind or what your downfalls are, but it can be as simple as sitting down and making a list of all of the things you've accomplished mm-hmm. from smallest to biggest. You will be astonished at what that list would look like and how long it is if you actually give yourself some credit.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the main reasons why people never start is because of fear of failure. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to fail, or I don't want it to turn out the way that I want it to turn out in this certain way. And if it doesn't turn out in this certain way, I don't even want to start. So I think one of the biggest main reasons why people don't start is just fear of failure. What is your biggest advice when it comes to getting over fear of failure?
Fail. You have to fail. Mm. One of the biggest parts of this journey that has been so enlightening for me and one of the most powerful parts has been the moments I've failed, have been the moments where I felt the most anxiety, felt the most panic, felt like the most like, what the hell am I doing? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to figure this out? How am I going to succeed? Failing has been in even beyond entrepreneurship and just my life in general, since I've been a young child, failing has been the places where I've learned the most lessons mm-hmm. and achieved the most success following learning from that failure. So if you're scared of failure, I encourage you to actually think about where you fear success, because one of my old business coaches also taught me that people don't feel fear. That's such a hard thing to say. Mm-hmm. Fear failure. They fear success. So is it that you fear being judged, or is it that you fear the success and that how it will change your life? Mm-hmm. Like if I were to launch a business and make $10 million right out of the first 6 months, like that's a massive shift in your life, right? Mm-hmm. So is it that you fear failing and no one watching you, or you fear success and have all of these eyes on you? Mm-hmm. And I think the places that I failed have taught me the most valuable lessons to realize that it was perhaps the success that I feared, but overcame due to the mindset work that I do, due to EFT. So I think failure is one, completely unavoidable. You're gonna fail. No one's perfect. No one can do it on the first shot. And if you do something on the first shot and you are successful, it's likely that the next thing you do will fail, and that's okay. I encourage people and my clients and friends, failure is just such a natural part of life. It's like breathing. And if you can embrace the failure, embrace the suck, then I think you'll find so much more gratitude in the moments where you actually feel the elements of success.
Yeah, Lauren, thank you so much for today's conversation. Before I jump into my last question, I do have a little gift for you.
Oh my gosh.
I think aligns a lot with today's message. My brand is called No Name Project now, but the message behind it is that we're all strangers healing together. I had no idea what your story was before we started this episode. And now I just have so much love and compassion and admiration for you for everything that you've been through. So this is for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I love the color too.
Okay, so jumping into our last question to close off today's episode, what does healing mean to you?
What does healing mean to me? Healing is such a personal journey. It is such a factor of life that if you do not choose to heal, I think you're choosing to suffer, the victim mentality that we talked about. And I think that if you find the courage one day, whether it's 5, 10, 15 years down the line, to choose to heal, it's the most empowering choice you will ever make in your life. It is the thing that will affect every decision, every relationship, every moment and experience that you will have. And healing for me has been the most empowering journey because it has given me the relationship that I have with myself, which is so deeply filled with gratitude and love and compassion. And I think that if you can find the courage to heal within yourself, you'll see that you'll become your best friend. You'll become best friends with your emotions, your feelings, And even the hardest moments of your life will feel just a little bit easier because healing is, it will change your life.
What is your biggest advice that you can give to a stranger?
I think people think that putting yourself first can feel really difficult, but the moment you choose yourself above everything, and I think, you know, parents will probably find that the hardest choice to make, but the moment you choose you above all, above everything in your life, career, finances, relationships, you are choosing the happiness and joy of everything else in your life because you're always taking care of you. And I think the best advice is always put yourself first, do you, figure you out and your emotions, and everything else will just solve itself.
Thank you so much, Lauren, for your time and for your story. Where can people find you?
Everywhere. So Instagram is Lauren, very complicated last name, LHEURUX. And my website is Lauren, LARUE.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much for watching. Don't forget to follow I Missed Me on social media at I Missed Me Podcast everywhere. Don't forget to go get your No Name hoodie. Go to noNameProject.co to check them out. Don't forget to follow me on my personal social media at MafianSudis, and I will see you guys on our next episode. We're all strangers healing together. I love you guys, and I'll see you guys next week. With love, Mafia.